time with family and some time off work, maybe. I don't know, but it's good that you all have made the priority to be back here in the house of worship with God here this morning amongst others believers. I want to start off, I'm reminded of a story of a father that had told the story of how he had often went to a bar. It was a regular thing for him. And then, but most time he would go right after work, but then there were times that he would go home first if everything's good, and then he would go back out. Well, there was one particular night that he had went home first on this snowy night. He went home first, took care of a few things, and then decided he was going to go back into town for a few drinks. On the way there, he heard a bit of a commotion going on behind him, and he begins to turn around to see what's going on. He notices that his young son is following him. That the commotion is that because of the length of the legs of the son and the depths of the snow, that the son was jumping from footprint to footprint in order to keep up. The father goes on to tell the story about how that night he realized the direction that he was leading his son, and his life from that point was forever changed. Now, when we hear stories like that, we begin to think about our own situation. Who are we following? And who is following us? As this is the fifth Sunday of Advent, as we're getting ready to close out this particular series of Advent that we have walked through, we've seen several things thus far. The first Sunday of Advent, Shannon and Stephanie Osteen, they lit the candle of hope. Now, this isn't a wishful hope. This is a confident hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus was the promised Messiah that came to this earth and fulfilled the will of God by being a propitiation for all who will believe, that all sins will be covered, to come and save the lost. In simplest terms there, right? The next week, Tom and Susan come and they lit the candle of hope. And Billy brought the beautiful message about hope regarding how we are peace. I'm sorry, the candle of peace. Billy brought a message about peace. And that peace is a peace that brings us an assurance. That whenever things are going, whatever direction they're going in life, we have a peace of knowing that the waters are stilled because of Christ. The next week, we had my family had come in. And because of the inclement weather, a sparse crowd, so my family filled in, my four kids and son-in-laws, lit the candle of joy. Now this joy that we talked about was a hope, with a great hope and with a solid peace, the result is joy. And it's this type of joy is one that gives us comfort no matter what's going on in our life. That even in the bad times, we have a joy because we know that this life and this particular situation is actually temporary. But also the type of joy that magnifies the blessings of God. And then last week we had, Terry and Shirley had lit the candle of love. Where we talked about how God so loved whosoever. Today, Kevin and Carrie lit the candle of Christ. What a beautiful candle. What a beautiful topic. In fact, it's a great topic. It's a topic that we cover quite a bit. If you've heard more than one sermon from me, then you can probably attest. I hope that you can attest that all of our sermons here are Christ-based. That we point to Christ in every way, with every sermon. And I feel that that's the primary goal of a gospel minister, is to point to Christ. But not only that, but in this particular series, the series of Advent, we have looked intrinsically at the depths of who Christ is. We talked about the virgin birth and why that was important, that Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because if he had been conceived like everyone else, then he would have been born in sin just like we are. But because he was not born in sin, that he was the perfect man while here on earth and is still perfect in heaven. That he took on flesh, that he was the God-man. And that as being in human flesh, he experienced everything in life that we will experience ourselves, except for the guilt of sin. And then as this sinless sacrifice, experiencing all the temptations and things that we experience here on earth, he became the suffering servant. Because he was the only one that could. And that by dying a real death, that he satisfied the wrath of God and his wrath towards sin. Now, we've looked at this in great detail over this particular series. So as we can go into this fifth Sunday, this fifth Sunday of Advent about who Christ is, I feel that I am led toward talking more about how we follow Christ and why we follow Christ rather than the person of Christ, because I feel we've covered the attributes and the characteristics of God quite well. And even though that there's so much more that we could say, that when we got a right view of the gospel, we can see that all of Scripture points us to Christ. But I feel that this morning we want to take a different little turn, a little journey, if you will, as to why and how. And we're going to see that in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. We're going to walk through this together. Now, the book of Mark is considered, it's often called the gospel in a hurry. We see the word immediately quite often in the book of Mark. And what happens is Mark gets to the point. He leaves nothing out. The book of Mark itself is sufficient for salvation, as with all of Scripture. But he gets to the point. He doesn't give a whole lot of details that we're going to see here as we begin to study together. But being in a hurry, he still covers everything here. And I say that in a hurry because in the very first chapter, just 9 verses in, Christ is already being baptized. The other 3 Gospels take 3 chapters to get there. So this is how we see that Mark gets right to the point. He tells the story that's necessary, what we need to know about the person and work of who Christ is. So in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Great God, holy and sufficient God, majestic and glorious God, God of our lives, God of this creation, we bow before you here this morning. As we wrap up this year, as we wrap up this series, may we rightly see the Christ child. Not only rightly see him, but also have a passion and a willingness to follow him. So I pray that your word be true and speak as only as it can here this morning for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to do 3 things here. I want to show how Jesus pleased God by being the example that he was for us. There's 3 ways that we see Jesus pleased God by being the example in which we are to follow. The first way is Jesus pleased God through obedience in baptism. In verses 9 through 11, it tells how John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. But and when we begin to talk about baptism and we start talking to other people about baptism and things, the big question that comes up a lot of times, and rightfully so, is that, well, if Jesus was perfect and sinless, then why did Jesus get baptized? Good question, and we're going to answer that. In fact, there's several answers as to why Jesus did get baptized. We're going to look at just a few of them here this morning. One of them is to fulfill Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. In fact, when I was thinking it through, my wife helped me with that. I'm going to give her credit where credit is due. She reminded me of the voice crying out in the wilderness from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, being the forerunner, John the Baptist, the forerunner of this ministry of Christ that is to come. So he did it to fulfill Scripture. Another reason why Jesus was baptized, even though he was perfect and sinless and didn't need to be baptized. Another reason is because he needed to approve. He needed to affirm the message of John. That God had given John the Baptist a message that he was crying out into the wilderness. And then Jesus comes to John in order to be baptized. In fact, John says, I need to be baptized by you. As we look into other versions of this particular story, we see John saying, I need to be baptized by you. Now, who am I? But Jesus is there to affirm the message that John was declaring. Lastly, and probably for me, most importantly, the reason why Jesus was baptized was to set the example for us and to show that example in how God works in His creation. Because as we read this, we see the Trinity being present. We see that Jesus, God in human flesh there, that the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And then we hear the voice of God saying that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Trinitarily, we see that God, through all three persons, is in the act and in the sole requirement for our salvation. That when we show this act of baptism, that we see all three parts of God working in the act of saving the lost. So those are the three reasons why Jesus was baptized. Now let's look at baptism itself. The word baptismo in the Greek literally means immerse. So we believe that there's this full immersion that goes under the water in which we come back out. So with that being said, we look at the things that are going on here. And we see that, done lost my place here, forgive me. That first we need to take a look and realize that baptism is not an invitation for being a Christian. It is how we identify with Christ. Again, baptismo means immerse. But baptism is not required for salvation. It's not a means in which salvation comes to us, but rather it is something that we need to do. And there's many reasons why we need to do it. First of the many reasons is that Jesus did it. As I've already explained this, the text is clearly showing that Jesus goes to do it. And as again, John the Baptist says, why me? I need to be baptized by you. So we see that Jesus did it. So we should follow that example, right? The second reason that Jesus instructs it in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go ye into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. This is called the Great Commission. These are some of the last words that Jesus said while he was here on earth to his disciples. Go and baptize and teach all that I've commanded you. So he instructs on these things for us. Although not a requirement, we should follow that example. A third reason is that we identify with Christ through the baptism. Now Romans chapter 6 is a beautiful picture of this for us. Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. As believers in the perfect person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it is important that we see His life, death, burial, resurrection, His ascension, and eventual return, that we are called to follow the very example that Jesus had set for us. In the book of Romans here, it shows this immersion representing our dying to self, because we cannot live underwater. We're being laid to rest, if you will. And then our being raised back out of the water is in connection with the newness of life in Christ. As Christ was resurrected, we too are resurrected into a new life, symbolizing that we are no longer the old person, but we are now a new creation in Christ. The act of baptism is how we identify with Christ and show our faithful commitment to following Him. Baptism is a sacred moment that the believer will never forget. Kind of in a small way, as the wedding ring is to a married couple. It's a seal of promises that were shared by the couple when they gave their vows. The ring is a reminder of those vows when you wear it every day. And it's a symbol to the rest of the world of the commitment made to your spouse. Taking the ring off doesn't remove that vow. Marriage represents a growing love that is made public. Whether you've got a ring on or not, my love for my spouse is still there. The ring is a reminder that when I'm distracted, when I'm tempted, that ring is a reminder of the promise I had made, the vow that I had spoke to my wife. So again, in some small, similar way, baptism serves as a reminder of our love commitment to Jesus. In a more glorious and significant way, but the ring that we have on our finger serves as a reminder, as the baptism is this glorious reminder. That when we hear about people getting baptized, when we're thinking about water, when we're thinking about in any way, somehow our relationship with Christ, baptism is a significant moment in it. It's in baptism that we are making a public profession of faith in Jesus as Lord. And by identifying with Christ, our baptism is a continual reminder of our faith commitment as followers of Jesus Christ. So we see that Jesus was obedient to the Father and pleased God through the baptism. In verses 12 through 13, we see that Jesus pleased God by being obedient to the Scriptures, through the Word of God, through the truth. Now, this version, as I said, Mark gets right to the point, but in other versions, especially if you look at Matthew chapter 4, we see that Satan tempted Christ, that Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Satan shows up, and if you're not familiar with the story, let me remind you real quick that this was no Mickey Mouse type little temptation. You want a piece of candy or anything like that. These are full-blown, all-in temptations that Jesus experienced. Remember, he'd been out there for 40 days with no food or no water. Weak, hungry, distracted. And then here comes Satan. The big part that I want you to know, that we need to know, that we need to learn from this particular passage, is that Satan tempted Christ with Scripture. Not only did he tempt him with Scripture, but he used Scripture correctly. It was just used with the wrong heart. But as you look all three times, Jesus answered him. He overcome that temptation that Satan had put on him by quoting Scripture. Folks, we see that Jesus was obedient. But not only was he obedient, not only was he strong, not only was he sure in this time of temptation, but he was declaring Scripture, right? He was depending upon the Word of God to get him through it. Folks, I don't know about your time alone with God. I don't know what you look for whenever you're reading Scripture or anything, but this is the source of our strength. That this is the way in which whenever temptation comes, that we can stand firm. Yes, God sends the Holy Spirit, and God comforts us and gives us strength, gives us wisdom by the Holy Spirit when we need it. But there's also this part in which we should know ourselves. Spending this daily time with God, growing in our faith, growing in our understanding of who God is according to the Scriptures. It is this way. That is how we are prepared, how we put on the armor of God, is by studying the Scriptures, trusting that these words are good enough. They are more than sufficient to help us overcome any and all temptations. Although Scripture can be difficult at times, and I know this, there's parts of the Bible I still struggle with when I read through it. There are some hard things in Scripture. But I loved one of the Puritans that said this: the hard parts of Scripture can only become clear when we start obeying the parts that we already understand. I didn't get an amen on that one. That might have stepped on a few toes. I don't know. But let me say it again so that you get it clearly. The hard parts of Scripture to understand only become clear when we're willing to obey the parts that we do understand. Folks, I can't say it enough how important a daily dose of Scripture in your life, how important that is as we grow in our faith and understanding. If we really want to know the God and whom we serve, the best way to know Him is through the Scriptures. If you're going to depend upon me, it's going to take you a very, very long time. I get 1 hour a week. I get 52 hours a year. I want to be honest with you. That's just not enough. I hope you spend time yourself in the Word of God, digesting the fullness of who God is and what He's done for us. So it is through studying, reading, and obeying that we grow in this faith and knowledge, letting Scripture mold and guide us into the example that Christ has set for us. So Jesus pleased God in obedience through baptism. Jesus pleased God in obedience to the truth. And in verses 14 and 15, we see that Jesus pleased God in obeying ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Ministry in every single language is translated as servant. Minister in every single language says we're to serve. And yeah, ministry a lot of times is thought of as an occupation. But let me clarify, even though it may be in my particular case, in your particular case, is as believers called to serve God in your faith, you too have the opportunity to minister. We serve God by serving others. And we serve others by pointing them to God through the Scriptures. Jesus so clearly had said this so many times. He showed a picture of this example for our lives, is that whenever He was challenged in any way, the number one question that Jesus asked throughout the entire four Gospels is, "Haven't you read or haven't you heard?" Pointing all the way back to Scripture. The number one thing He continually asks is, "Haven't you heard or haven't you read?" The truth that is found in the Word of God. This is how we minister. We serve people by showing them who God is. We serve them out of love and compassion because of the love and compassion that God's given us, by saving us from our sins, by allowing us to be free from these sins, that we are now able to walk with hope, joy, peace, and love because of the Christ child. We have been given this blessing of knowing what it is to be in a relationship with God, and now we want to give that to others. And again, what better way for them to know who God is than to know the Scriptures? But how are they going to know the Scriptures unless we're willing to serve them? Now, ministry can be tough. It can take some effort. It can also sometimes be painful. But the gospel is not about us. Nowhere in the Scripture can you read that this gospel is about us. So we see that Jesus was obedient in several ways. But I want to say that for us, that it's important that we are baptized. Maybe you've believed and maybe you've made a profession of faith in some way, somehow, other than being baptized. But it's important that we follow the Lord in baptism. I know that it's not required for salvation, but He's commanded it. He's illustrated it. He's taught on it. Why don't we follow Him in baptism? Trusting Him in that. Why don't we spend more time getting to know the God who loves us and spared no expense for us through studying the Scriptures so that we can minister better for Him and His glory? We go back to the guy, that the dad that was leading his son in a direction he didn't want his son to go. And the man goes on to tell the story. It wasn't as much as the place I was going, because he didn't think it was a very bad thing that he was doing, or he would have already stopped doing it. But knowing that his son was watching and following him, that's what forever changed him. Sometimes we go through life for a long period of time before we realize that there are people watching. So I'll go back to the question. Who are you following? And who is following you? For me, I hope it's clear that I'm not just up here because that's what I'm supposed to do. But I love Jesus Christ. I know that He walked on this earth in a perfect way. That everything I know and learn about Him and what He did, when I think about the heart behind what He done and how He did it, that there's no better way for me to live than to be just like that. Even though O'Shawn is jumping from footprint to footprint a lot of his life, I'm doing everything I can to keep up and to follow along with him. And it can be a struggle, but I'm going to keep following. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how long my legs get or how much of the snow melts away, I'm still going to struggle at times, but I'm never going to come off that path, Lord willing. By the grace of God, I'm even on it. Do we follow Christ? A perfect example for us to follow. And yes, we're going to trip. He knows when to jump and what to jump over. We're going to stumble over it. But He's there to pick us up. There's still a path over on the other side of the thing we just stumbled over. But who's following us on that path? What impact, what influence are we having on those around us? If you live out in the world in any way, then you've got companionship. You've got friends. And if you go out and do anything at all with those friends, then your circle begins to grow. You have no idea who you've met or what you've done in front of them the whole time. There's no way we can remember of all the lives, but what impact have you made along the way in this journey? Every life you meet, you can impact them in some way. But I'm not saying that we begin to act a certain way just because this is what we're supposed to do. We get to act in a manner that brings God glory. This should be a natural way in which we act. It shouldn't be a face that we put on. It should be just the walk that we walk. The talk that we talk. And this is the way in which we follow Christ. And which for other people to see Christ too. Does your life lead others to Christ? Is there a difference between you and between the world? Again, baptism is a way in which we obediently follow God through the example set by Christ. We submerge ourselves in the depths of Scripture, letting it guide us, mold us, transform us in the areas in which we're stubborn, in the areas in which we're weak. And are we ministering? Are we usable vessels for the glory of God? We see this real quick in three different sections here, in just a few short verses of how God, through Christ, gave us an opportunity to be usable vessels for Him. Who are you following? and we spot on you. Great God, we do love you. We thank you. We praise you for the God that you are, for the God that you've proven to be, for the God that has and will and continues. That being that God, we're blessed to have that opportunity to know you and to be in a relationship with you. And may we not take it for granted. May we not be burdened by it, but yet joyful about it because of we get the opportunity. You've called us to. So Lord, as we continue in our life that you've given us, may we be mindful and we be prayerful. May we be joyful in our example that we can set for others that points them to you. For it's not about us in any way, but about you. So I trust, Heavenly Father, that you guide us through your scripture. You guide us through discipleship. You guide us through the Holy Spirit to be more like you, so that the world can know you better. I pray this in Jesus' name.